potion to take away my pain, though I had never once stopped torturing him, no matter how much he begged, not once. And after all the things I have told you I did to him, he forgave me. He understood what I had suffered. He took my Aegil to wear around his neck and promised to remember me, to remember that I was more than a Morn Sith, to remember that I was once just Denna. Another shimmering tear ran down, and because I love him, even in death I love him. Though I know my love will never be requited, I still love him. Kaelin looked at Richard as he lay on his back unconscious, helpless, with the Keeper's mark, black and bleeding on his chest. The black and white mud painted everywhere on him made him look wild, savage, but he wasn't. He was the gentlest person she had ever known. She realized then that she would do anything to save him, anything.
"I will do it," she whispered. "I promise. If we can't find Zed before the sisters come back for the third time, I will make him put the collar on, no matter what it takes. Even if it makes him hate me. Even if it kills me."
Denna's hand reached out to her. "An oath, then, between the living and the dead, to do what must be done to save him." Kaelin stared at the hand before her.
"I still can't forgive you. I won't forgive you."
The hand stayed where it was, waiting.
"The only forgiveness I need has already been granted."
Kaelin stared at the hand and then reached out and took it.
"An oath, then, to save the one we love."
They clasped hands and shared a silent joining. Denna took her hand away.
"Time is short for him. It must be now."
Kaelin nodded.
"When it is done, get help for him. Though the pull of the mark will be removed, the wound will still be there. And it is a serious one."
Kaelin nodded.
"There is a healer here. She will help him."
Denna's eyes were filled with compassion.
"Thank you, Kaelin, for loving him enough to help him. May the good spirits be with you both."
She gave a small, frightened smile.
"Where I am going, I will never see any of them, or I would send them to help you."
Kaelin touched the back of the other's hand, offering a silent prayer for strength. Denna returned the touch to Kaelin's cheek, and then knelt next to Richard. Her hand went to the mark covering it, dissolving into it. Richard's chest heaved. Denna's features twisted in pain. She threw her head back with a piercing scream that shot through Kaelin. And then she was gone. Richard groaned. Kaelin bent over him, caressing him, crying.
"Kaelin?"
he moaned.
"Kaelin, what happened? It hurts. It hurts so." "Lie still, my love. Everything is all right. You are safe with me. I'll get help."
He nodded, and she ran to the door, throwing it open. The elders were sitting in a small circle in the dark, just outside the door. They looked up expectantly.
"Help me!"
she screamed.
"Carry him to Nissel. There's no time to get her."
Chapter 17. When he stirred, Kaelin lifted her head. His gray eyes blinked and searched around the small room until they found her face.
"Where are we?"
She gave his shoulder a little squeeze.
"At Nissel's. She tended your burn."
His right hand came up and touched the bandage-covered poultice. He winced.
"How long? What time is it?"
Kaelin looked up from where she was crouched on the floor next to him, rubbed her eyes and squinted out the partly open door at the gray light.
"It has been light for an hour or two.
Nissel is in the back room sleeping. She was up most of the night tending your wound. The elders are all outside watching over you. They haven't left since we brought you here."
"When? When did you bring me here?"
"In the middle of the night."
Richard looked around again. "What happened? Darkin Rall was there."
His big hand grasped her arm.
"He touched me. He marked me. Where did he go? What happened after he touched me?"
She shook her head. "I don't know. He just left." His hand squeezed her arm painfully. His eyes were wild.
"What do you mean he left? Did he go back into the green light, back into the underworld?"
She pulled at his fingers.
"Richard, you're hurting me."
He let go.
"I'm sorry."
He cradled her head to his good shoulder.
"I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. I'm sorry."
He let out a noisy breath.
"I can't believe how stupid I am."
She kissed his neck.
"It didn't hurt that much."
That's not what I mean. I mean, I can't believe how stupid I was to call him back from the underworld. I can't believe I did something that stupid. I was warned. I should have thought. I should have figured it out. I let myself focus on one thing so strongly that I didn't look around and see what was coming from a different direction. I must be mad to have done that.
Don't say that, she whispered. You're not mad.
She pushed herself up and looked down at him.
Don't you ever say that about yourself.
He blinked, then pushed himself up to sit facing her. He winced when he touched the bandage again. He reached out to run his hand down her cheek, through her hair. He smiled the smile that made her heart melt. He sought her eyes. You are the most beautiful woman in the world. Did I ever tell you that?
All the time.
Well, you are. I love your green eyes, your hair. You have the most beautiful hair I ever saw. Kaylin, I love you more than anything in the world. She forced herself to hold back tears.
I love you more than anything else, too.
Please, Richard, promise me you won't ever doubt my love. Promise me that no matter what happens, you won't ever doubt how much I love you. He cupped her cheek.
I promise. I promise I will never doubt your love, no matter what. All right?
What's the matter? She leaned against him, laid her head on his shoulder, and wrapped her arms carefully around him so as not to hurt him. Dark and Rawl frightened me, that's all. I was so afraid when he burned you with his hand, I thought you were dead. He stroked her shoulder.
So what happened? I remember him telling me how he got here, because I called him, and he was my ancestor, and then he said something about marking me for the Keeper. Then I don't remember anything else. What happened?
Kaylin's mind raced.
Well, he said he was going to mark you, kill you, that the mark would send you to the Keeper. He said he was here to tear the veil the rest of the way. He put his hand against you, burned you. But before he could do it enough, before he could kill you, I called the lightning, the Khandar.
He missed a breath. I don't suppose that we could be lucky enough that it killed him or destroyed him or whatever it is that can be done to a spirit.
She shook her head.
No, it didn't destroy him. He was able to block it partly anyway. But I think it frightened him. He left. Not back into the green light, but out the door. Before he could finish what he was going to do to you, he just left, that's all.
He grinned and hugged her tighter.
My heroine, you saved me. He was quiet a moment.
Here to tear the veil, he whispered to himself. His brow was set in a thoughtful frown.
And then what happened? Kaylin steeled herself for the lie of omission, but she couldn't bear the scrutiny of his eyes. She nestled her face against his shoulder, frantically trying to think of a way to get him off the subject.
And then the elders and I carried you here so Nissel could tend to your burn. She said that it's bad, but the poultice will make it well. You have to leave it on for a few days until it begins to heal over enough.
She angrily shook a finger at him. I know you. You will want to take it off sooner. You always think you know best. Well, you don't. You will just leave it on like I tell you, Richard Cipher.
His smile faded a little.
Richard Rawl.
She stared at him.
I'm sorry, she whispered.
Richard Rawl.
She forced a smile.
My Richard. Maybe you could change it when we're married. You could be Richard Amnell. Mates to confessors sometimes take their wife's family name.
He grinned. I like it. Richard Amnell, husband to the mother confessor. Devoted husband. Loving husband.
The haunted look returned to his eyes.
Sometimes I fear I don't know who or what I am.
Sometimes I think you are a part of me and I am a part of you. That's all that's important.
He nodded absently, his eyes glistening with tears. I wanted to help with a gathering. I wanted to find a way to stop all this. Instead, as Dark and Rawl said, I've only made it worse. He was right. I am stupid. It's going to be my fault.
Richard, stop it. You've been hurt. You're just exhausted. When you've rested, you'll figure it out. You'll know what to do.
He gave himself a mental shake. He threw the blanket off and looked down.
Who washed the mud off me and dressed me?
The elders washed off the mud. Nissel and I were going to dress you, she said as his face turned red. But you were too big and heavy for us. The elders did that too. They had quite a time of it. It took all of them.
He nodded absently.
He had stopped listening. He reached up to the spot on his chest where the whistle, Scarlet's tooth, and the Agile usually hung, but didn't find them.
We have to get out of here.
We have to get to Zed, right now, before anything else happens. I need Zed's help. Where is Scarlet's tooth? I have to call her. Where's my sword?
All of our things are in the spirit house.
He scrubbed his hands over his face, thinking, then combed his fingers through his hair. All right. His solid gaze came to her eyes. I'll go get the tooth and call Scarlet, and get our things together, get them ready to leave.
He gently squeezed her upper arm. You go to Wesselin and put on your wedding dress. While we wait for Scarlet to come, we can be married. We'll leave when Scarlet gets here.
He kissed her cheek. We will be married, and we'll be in Adendril with Zed before dark. Everything will be all right, you'll see. Everything will be all right. I'll find out what I did wrong and fix it, I promise.
She put her arms around his neck.
We will fix it, she corrected. Together, always together.
He laughed quietly in her ear.
Together. I need you. You light my way.
She slipped away from him and looked at him sternly. Well, I have instructions for you, and you are going to do as you are told. You are going to wait here until Nissel says you can get up. She said that when you wake, she has to change the poultice and bandage and give you medicine. You are going to stay here until she is finished, understand? I don't want you getting sick and dying on me now. Not after I have gone to all the trouble of saving you, and a great deal of trouble it was. I'll go to Wesselin so she can finish fitting my dress. When Nissel is finished with you, then, she shook a finger at him, and only then may you leave to go call Scarlet. When you are finished here with Nissel, and when you have called Scarlet and gotten our things together, come get me and I will marry you.
She kissed the end of his nose.
If you also promise to love me always.
Always, he said with a grin.
She rested her wrists on his shoulders, to each side of his strong neck, and clasped her fingers together behind his head.
I'll wake Nissel and ask her to hurry with you. But please, Richard, don't waste any time after that. Call Scarlet quickly, quick as you can. I want to get away from here. I want to get away before Sister Verna even comes close. I don't want to take any chances, even if she isn't supposed to be back for a few days. I want us away from here. Away from the Sisters of the Light. I want to get you to Zed so he can help you with the headaches before they get any worse.
He gave her a boyish, lopsided smile.
What about your big bed in Adendril? Don't you want to get to that in a hurry, too?
With a finger, she gently squashed his nose flat.
I've never had anyone else in my big bed before. I hope I don't disappoint you.
He gripped her waist in his strong hands and pulled her to him hard enough to make her grunt. He pushed her hair back off her neck and gave it a tender kiss, right where Dark and Rawl's lips had been.
Disappoint me?
That, my love, is the only thing in the world it would be impossible for you to do. He gave her neck one more tickling kiss. Now, go get Nissel. We are wasting time. Kaelin pulled on the fabric, trying to bring it up as much as she could.
I've never worn anything cut this low. You don't think it shows too much?
Wesselin looked up from the floor where she was fussing with the hem of the blue dress. She took the fine bone needle from her mouth as she rose to appraise her client's fit. She studied the expanse of flesh a moment.
You don't think he will like it?
Kaelin felt her face flush.
Well, I think he will. I hope so, but...
Wesselin leaned a little closer.
If you are worried about him seeing that much, maybe you had better reconsider this.
Kaelin lifted an eyebrow.
He is not the only one who will be looking. I've never worn anything like this before. I'm worried that I don't do it justice.
Wesselin smiled and patted Kaelin's arm.
You'll wear the dress well. It looks beautiful on you. It's perfect.
Kaelin still fretted as she glanced down at herself.
Really? Are you sure? I fill it out properly?
Wesselin's smile widened.
Really? You have fine breasts. Everyone says so.
Kaelin felt her face redden. She was sure of the truth of the casual statement. Among the mud people, commenting favorably on a woman's breasts in public was no more odd than a man elsewhere telling a woman she had a pleasant smile. It was an uninhibited attitude that more than once had caught her off guard.
Kaelin held the skirt out to the sides. It's the most beautiful dress I've ever worn, Wesselin. Thank you for all your hard work. I will treasure it always.
Maybe someday, if you have a daughter... She will wear it when she weds.
Kaelin smiled and nodded. Please, dear spirits, she was thinking. If a child comes, let it be a daughter and not a son.
She reached up and touched the delicate necklace she wore, her fingers turning the small round bones strung among the few red and yellow beads. Addie, the bone woman,
had given her the necklace to protect her from the beasts that dwelt in the pass through the boundary that at the time had separated Westland from the Midlands. The old woman had told her it would help protect her child one day. Caelan dearly loved the necklace. It was just like the one her mother had received from Addie, and had, in turn, given to Caelan. Caelan had buried it with her closest childhood friend, Denis. Since Denis's death, she had missed her mother's necklace. This one was all the more special because the night before they had gone through the pass, Richard had added his oath to the necklace to protect any future child she might have. Neither she nor Richard had suspected at the time that there was any way a child might possibly be his. "I hope so, Wesleyan. Will you stand with me?"
"Stand with you?"
Caelan pulled some of her hair self-consciously over her half-exposed chest. "Where I come from, it is the custom to have a friend stand by you when you wed, to stand as a representative of the good spirits watching over the joining. Richard would like Savidlin to stand with him. I would like it if you stood by me."
"That seems a strange custom. The good spirits always watch over us. But if it is your custom, I would be honored to be the one who stands by you."
Caelan beamed. "Thank you. Now stand up straight. I am almost finished." Wesleyan again bent to her task at the hem. Caelan tried to stand with her back straight. It hurt from sitting on the floor next to Richard the last half of the night. She wished she could sit or lie down. She was that sleepy. But mostly, her back hurt. Suddenly, she wondered how much Denna was hurting right now. She didn't care, she told herself. Whatever was happening to her would never be enough after what she had done to Richard. Her stomach lurched at the memory of what Denna had told her. Caelan could still feel the place on her neck where Darkin Rall had put his lips. A shiver ran up her spine at the memory. She remembered the mask of agony on Denna's face the instant before she disappeared. It didn't matter. She deserved it. It could have been Richard, though. If it hadn't been for Denna, it could have been Richard. "Don't be afraid, Caelan."
"What?"
She focused her eyes. Wesleyan was standing in front of her, smiling.
"I'm sorry, what did you say?"
Wesleyan reached out and wiped a tear from Caelan's cheek. "I said not to be afraid. Richard is a good man. You will have a happy life with him. It is natural to fear being wedded. But do not worry. It will be fine, you will see. I cried too before I wedded my Savidlin. I didn't think I would because I wanted him so, but I found myself crying just like you." She winked. "I never had reason to cry again. Sometimes I find reason to complain, but never to cry." Caelan wiped the other cheek. What was the matter with her? She didn't care what was happening to Denna. She didn't, not one bit. She nodded to Wesleyan and forced a smile. "That would be my greatest hope in life. Never to cry again." Wesleyan gave her a comforting hug. "Would you like something to eat?"
"No, I'm not."
Savidlin came bursting through the door. He was sweating and panting. Caelan went cold with fright at the look on his face. She started shaking even before his words came. "When Nissel finished with Richard, I went with him to the spirit house like you told me to, so he could call the dragon. The Sister of the Light came for him. She is there with him. I didn't understand his words, but I knew their meaning and your name. He wanted me to come for you. Hurry."
"No,"
Caelan wailed as she shot past him and out through the doorway. As she ran, she held the hem of her dress up in her fists so she wouldn't trip on it. She had never run so fast. Her breath couldn't keep pace as she raced down the narrow passageways. Her hair streamed behind her as she ran. The winter air was frigid on her skin. The sound of Savidlin running behind her faded away. She couldn't form a thought, except that she must get to Richard. This couldn't be happening. It was too soon. The sister shouldn't be here. The two of them were leaving, almost gone. It wasn't fair at all. Richard. Big white snowflakes drifted down. Not enough to turn the ground white, but enough to bring an icy foreboding of the winter that was coming. The winter that was here. The wet flakes melted instantly as they touched her hot skin. Some caught in her lashes until she blinked them away. A light breeze curled around a corner, swirling into a white curtain. Caelan flew through it and down a passageway. She skidded to a stop and looked around. It was the wrong way. She ran back and took the correct turn. Tears ran down her face with the melted snowflakes. It was too much. It couldn't be. Panting and desperate, she broke from the buildings into the clearing around the spirit house. The sisters' horses,
were tethered on the other side of the short wall, the wall with the gash through it from when Richard had tried to kill the Skreeling. People were standing around, but she didn't see them. Everything except the door to the spirit house grayed in her vision. She ran desperately for it. It took forever, as if she were running in a dream and couldn't make any headway. Her legs ached with the strain. Her hand stretched for the latch. Her heart pounded in her ears. "Please, dear spirits," she begged. "Don't let me be too late." Grunting through gritted teeth, she yanked the door open and threw herself through. Kaelin jerked to a halt. She gulped air. Richard stood before Sister Verna, beneath the hole ripped through the roof by the lightning. The two of them stood in a shaft of gray light, in the gently drifting snowflakes floating down. The rest of the room dimmed into darkness around them. At his hip, Richard's sword glinted in the light. He didn't have the tooth or whistle or a geel around his neck. He hadn't had time to call Scarlet yet. In one hand, Sister Verna was holding the collar out to him. Her gaze went to Kaelin in silent warning for a moment and then slid back to Richard. "You have heard the three reasons for the Radahan. This is your last chance to be helped, Richard. Will you accept the offer?" Richard left the sister's steady gaze and turned slowly toward Kaelin, toward where she stood panting. His bright gray eyes followed down her dress and came back up to her face. His voice was gentle, reverent. "Kaelin, that dress is beautiful, beautiful." Kaelin couldn't find her voice. Her heart was pounding, breaking. Sister Verna spoke his name in a tone of serious warning. For the first time, Kaelin saw that Sister Verna held something in her other hand. It was the silver knife. But she wasn't pointing it at herself. It was held toward Richard. Kaelin knew if he didn't accept, she intended to kill him. He didn't even seem to be aware of the knife as it flashed in the dim light. Kaelin wondered if she had used a spell to block it from his vision. Richard turned back to the sister. "You have done your best. You have tried your best. It is not enough. I told you before, I will not..." "Richard!" Kaelin took another step toward him as he turned to the sound of her shriek. Her eyes locked on his. "Richard!" she whispered as she took another step. Her voice broke. "Accept the offer. Take the collar, please." Sister Verna didn't move. She watched calmly. Richard frowned a little. "What? Kaelin, you don't understand. I told you I won't..." "Richard!" He fell silent as he looked at her in puzzlement. She glanced at the sister standing motionless, the knife still in her hand. She watched as Kaelin stepped closer. Their eyes met. Kaelin knew the other would wait to see what would happen. There was a hardness in those eyes that spoke of what she was prepared to do if Kaelin didn't change Richard's mind. "Richard, listen carefully to me. I want you to accept the offer." His frown deepened. "What? Take the collar." His eyes flashed anger. "I told you before, I will not. You said you loved me. Kaelin, what's the matter with you? You know I love..." She cut him off. "Then you will accept the offer. If you really love me, you will take the collar and put it on for me." He stared at her in disbelief. "For you? Kaelin, I can't. I won't. You will." She was being too gentle and knew it. It was only confusing him. She had to be stronger. She had to act more like Denna if she was to save him. "Dear spirits," she begged in her mind, "please give me the strength to do this, to save him." "Kaelin, I don't know what's gotten into you. We can talk about it later. You know how much I love you, but I'm not going to..." She clenched her hands into fists and screamed at him. "If you love me, you will. Don't stand there and tell me you love me if you aren't willing to prove it. You disgust me." He blinked in surprise. The way his voice sounded made her ache. "Kaelin, you aren't worthy of my love if you aren't willing to prove it. How dare you say you love me?" His eyes were filling with tears, with madness, with the memory of what Denna had done to him. He sank slowly to his knees. "Kaelin, please." She leaned over him as she held out clenched fists. "Don't you dare talk back to me." his arms flinched up, covering his head. He thought she was going to strike him. He really thought she was going to strike him. Her heart felt as if it ripped. Tears streamed down her face as she let the rage loose.
I told you to take the collar. How dare you talk back to me? If you love me, you will take it.
Kaylin, please, he cried. Don't do this. You don't understand. Don't ask me to.
I understand perfectly well, she screamed. I understand that you say you love me, but I don't believe you. I don't believe you. You're lying to me. Your love for me is a lie if you won't take the collar. A lie. A filthy lie.
He couldn't look up at her. Look up at her as she stood over him in the blue dress she was to wed him in. He struggled to get the words out as he fixed his eyes on the ground.
It's not a lie.
Please, Kaylin, I love you. You mean more to me than anything in the world. Please believe me. I would do anything for you, but please.
Dying inside, she grabbed a fistful of his hair and jerked his head up, making him look at her. Madness danced in his eyes. He was gone. But only for now, she prayed. Please, dear spirits, only for now.
Words. That's all you offer me. Not love, not proof, just words. Worthless words.
As she held him by his hair, she drew her other hand back to slap him. His eyes winced shut. She couldn't make herself do it. She couldn't hit him. It was all she could do just to stay on her feet, not to fall to her knees and throw her arms around him and tell him how much she loved him, that everything was all right. But it wasn't all right. If he didn't do this, he would die. She was the only one who could save him, even if it killed her.
Don't hit me anymore, he whispered. Please, Denna, don't.
Kaylin swallowed back the wail that tried to escape her throat and made herself speak.
Look at me.
He did as she ordered. I'm not going to tell you again, Richard. If you love me, you will accept the offer and put on the collar. If you don't, I will make you regret disobeying me more than anything you have ever regretted in your life. Do it now or it's over. Everything is over. His eyes faltered. She gritted her teeth.
I'm not going to tell you again, my pet. Put on the collar. Now!
Kaylin knew that my pet was what Denna had called him. Denna had told her with the rest of it. She knew what those two words meant to him. She had hoped she wouldn't have to use them. Whatever link he had to sanity dissolved in that instant. She saw it in his eyes. The thing she feared more than death. Betrayal. She released her grip on his hair as, on his knees, he turned to Sister Verna. She lifted the collar a little, holding it out to him. It looked dull, gray, dead in the cold light. Richard stared at it. Snowflakes drifted down in the still, quiet light. Expressionless, Sister Verna watched him. All right, he whispered. His shaking hand reached for the collar. His fingers touched it, curled around it. I accept the offer. I accept the collar. Then put it around your neck, Sister Verna said in a soft voice, and close it. He turned to Kaylin. I would do anything for you, he whispered. Kaylin wanted to die. His hand shook so much she thought he might drop the collar as he took it from Sister Verna. He held it, staring at it. But then his hand stopped shaking. He took a deep breath and put the collar around his neck. It closed with a snap, and the seam disappeared, leaving a smooth ring of metal. The shaft of light dimmed as if to twilight, even though it was still day. Deep, ominous thunder rumbled in every direction out across the grasslands. It didn't sound like any thunder Kaylin had ever heard before. She could feel it in the ground beneath her feet. She thought that maybe it had something to do with the magic of the collar, something to do with the sisters. She knew when she glanced at Sister Verna and saw her eyes glide around that it wasn't. Richard smoothly rose to his feet before the sister. You may find, Sister Verna, that holding the leash to this collar is worse than wearing it. He gritted his teeth. Much worse. Sister Verna's voice remained calm. We only want to help you, Richard. He nodded slightly. I take nothing on faith. You will have to prove it. In a panic, a sudden thought came to Kalin. What is the third reason? What is the third reason for the collar? Richard turned to her with a glare that even his father could not have matched. For a moment, she forgot how to breathe. The first reason is to control the headaches and open my mind so that I may be taught to use the gift. The second reason is to control me. His hand came up and grabbed her by the throat. His eyes sliced through her. The third reason is to give me pain. She closed her eyes with a wail.
No, dear spirits, no.
He released her throat. His expression went slack, lost. I hope I have proven my love for you, Kalin. I hope you believe me now. I have given you everything. I hope it is enough. I have nothing else to offer. Nothing. You have more than you could ever realize. I love you more than anything in the world, Richard. She reached out to touch his cheek. He pushed her hand away. His eyes said it all. She had betrayed him. Do you? He looked away. I would like to believe you. She tried to swallow the painful, burning lump in her throat. You promised me that you would never doubt my love. He nodded slightly. So I did. If she could have called lightning down on herself, she would have done it. Richard, I know you don't understand right now, but I only did what I had to help you live, to keep you from being killed by the headaches, the gift. I hope that someday you will understand. I will always wait for you. I love you with all my heart. He nodded tearfully. If that's true, then find Zed. Tell him what you have done. Tell him. Sister Verna's voice broke in. Richard, take your things and go wait with the horses. Looking back at her, he nodded. He went to the far corner and picked up his cloak, bow, and pack. Reaching in, he pulled out the three leather thongs, the one with the birdman's whistle, the one with Scarlet's tooth, and the one with Denna's agile. As Kalin watched him hang the three of them around his neck, she wished she had something of her own to give him. She tried desperately to think of something. As he went past her, she put a hand to his arm and stopped him. Wait. Kalin pulled the knife from his belt. She held out a long lock of her hair and severed it with the knife. She didn't even think about what she was doing, what happened when confessors cut their own hair. With a scream of pain, she found herself on the ground. The magic seared through her, burning every nerve in its passing. She fought to remain conscious as she gulped for air. She struggled against the wrenching pain of it. She had to remain conscious, or Richard might leave before she could give it to him. She thought only of that and forced herself to her feet. As she did so, the pain finally abated. Still panting, Kalin pulled a small blue ribbon from the waist of the dress, cut it too, and after wrapping the long strand of hair around two fingers, tied it together in the middle with the ribbon. As he watched, she returned the knife to its sheath at his belt and put the lock of hair in his shirt pocket. To remind you always that my heart is with you, that I love you. Expressionless, he looked at her a long moment. Find Zed, was all he said before turning and going through the doorway. Kalin stood staring at the door after he was gone. She felt numb, empty, lost. Sister Verna stopped next to her, watching the door with her. That was probably the most courageous act I have ever witnessed, she said softly. The people of the Midlands are fortunate to have you as their mother confessor. Kalin continued to stare at the door. He thinks I betrayed him. She turned and looked at the sister, tears welling up in her eyes. He thinks I betrayed him. The sister studied her face for a time. You have not. I promise you that in time I will help him to see the truth of what you have done this day. Please, she begged. Don't hurt him. Sister Verna clasped her hands in front of herself and took a deep breath. You have just hurt him to save his life. Would you have me do any less? A tear ran down her cheek. I guess not, and I doubt you could do anything as cruel as what I have just done. Sister Verna nodded. I fear you are right, but I will give you my promise that I will personally watch over him and see to it that what is done is only what is necessary. I promise you that I will not let it go one inch beyond that. not one breath. On my word as a sister of the light.
Thank you. She looked down at the knife in the other's hand. The sister pushed it back up her sleeve.
You would have killed him. If he said no, you would have killed him.
She nodded. If he had said no, the pain and madness at the end would have been grotesque. I would have spared him that. But it doesn't matter now. You have saved his life. Thank you, Mother Confessor. Kaelin.
Sister Verna stepped toward the door. Sister, how long? How long will you have him? How long will I have to wait?
The sister didn't turn.
I'm sorry, I can't say. It takes as long as it takes. Much of it is up to him. It depends on how fast he learns.
Kaelin smiled for the first time.
I think you will be surprised at how fast Richard learns.
Sister Verna nodded.
That is what I fear most. Knowledge before wisdom. It frightens me more than anything else.
I think, too, that Richard's wisdom may surprise you.
I pray you are right. Goodbye, Kaelin. Don't try to follow, or he will die.
Sister, one more thing. The cold danger in her own voice surprised her. If you are lying to me about any of it, if you kill him, I will hunt down every sister of the light. I will kill every last one. But not before each of you begs endlessly to die.
The sister stood still as stone a moment before nodding and then going on her way.
Kaelin followed her out and stood with the people outside as she watched the sister mount her horse. Richard already sat tall on a big bay gelding. His back was to her as he waited. Kaelin's heart was breaking. She wanted to see his face one more time, but he didn't turn as the two of them started away.
Kaelin sank to her knees.
Richard,
she cried.
I love you.
He seemed not to hear her as he and Sister Verna disappeared into the snowy grasslands. Kaelin sat on the ground in her wedding dress, her head hanging down, crying. Wesselin put an arm around her, comforting her.
Kaelin remembered what he had said. Find Zed. She forced herself to her feet. The elders were all there. She looked around at them all.
I must leave at once. I must get to Adendril. I need some men to go with me, to help me, to be sure I make it.
Savinlin came up next to her. I go. And as many of my hunters as you wish, all of them if you wish, we will take 100.
Kaelin put a hand on his shoulder and gave him a little smile.
No, I do not wish it to be you, my friend, or your hunters. I will take only 3 men.
Everyone mumbled in confusion.
More would bring attention, maybe trouble. It will be easier with 3 to slip unnoticed.
It will take less time that way.
Kaelin took the hand away and pointed at a man who stood watching, glaring.
I choose you, Chandelin.
The two brothers were standing to his side.
And you, Prindon and Tossadin.
Chandelin stormed forward.
Me? Why would you want me?
Because I must not fail. I know that if I took Savinlin, he would try his hardest, but if he failed, the Mud People would know he did his best. You are a better hunter of men. Richard told me once that if he had to pick one man to fight beside him, it would be you, even though you hate him.
Where we go, men are the danger. If I don't make it, if you fail me, everyone will think it is because you didn't try your hardest. They will always think you let me die, let another Mud Person die, because you hate me and Richard. If you let me be killed, you will never be welcomed back to the Mud People, your people.
Prindon stepped forward, his brother right next to him.
I will go, my brother too. We will help you.
Chandelin glared. I will not. I will not go. Kaelin looked to the birdman. His brown eyes met hers, and then he turned an iron gaze on Chandelin.
Kaelin is a Mud Person. You are the bravest, most cunning fighter among us. It is your responsibility to protect us, all of us. You will do this. You will go with her. You will follow her orders, and you will get her safely to where she wishes to go. Or you will leave now and never return. And Chandelin, if she is killed, don't come back. If you do, we will kill you as we would kill any outsider with black painted on his eyes.
Chandelin shook with rage. He threw his spear on the ground. Seething, he put fists to his hips.
If I am to leave our land, there will have to be a ceremony to call the spirits to protect us on our journey. It will take until tomorrow. We leave then. All eyes went to Kalin. I leave in 1 hour. You will be with me. You have until then to prepare. Kalin turned to the spirit house to change out of her wedding dress into her traveling clothes and to get her things together. She gratefully accepted Wesselin's offer to help. Chapter 18. Fat, wet flakes of snow drifted down. Sometimes they fell harder, gathering in gusts and swirling into white curtains. Richard rode in a numb haze behind Sister Verna. The third horse was tethered to his and trotted along behind. When the snow swept down in dense flurries, the sister was no more than a gray shape ahead of him. It never occurred to him to wonder where they were going or to close his cloak against the cold, biting wind. It didn't matter. Nothing mattered. His thoughts seemed to float and dance with the snow, unable to settle. He had never loved anything in his life the way he had loved Kalin. She had become his life, and she had sent him away. He hurt too much to think of anything else. He was stunned that she would doubt his love, that she would send him away. Why would she send him away? His mind drifted in and out of dense, desperate thoughts. He couldn't understand how she could ask him to put on a collar to prove his love. He had told her what wearing a collar meant to him. Maybe he should have told her all of it. Maybe then she would have understood. His chest ached where Darkenrall had burned him. When he reached up and touched the bandage, he finally noticed that the snow flurries had stopped. The low scudding clouds were broken in places, letting shafts of sunlight shine through. The grassland was a flat, dead brown, and the clouds a dull, dead gray. The landscape was colorless, empty. By the angle of the sun, he realized it was getting to be late afternoon. They had been riding for a long time, in silence. Sister Verna had said nothing to him. He reached up and experimentally touched the collar for the first time. It was smooth, seamless, cold. He had said he would never wear a collar again. He had promised himself. Yet here he was wearing one. Worse, he had put it on himself. Put it on because Kalin had asked him to. Because she doubted him. For the first time since he had put it on, he forced himself to think of something else. He couldn't think about Kalin anymore, couldn't stand the pain. He was the seeker. He had other things to think about, important things. With a gentle squeeze of his lower legs to the horse's girth, he urged it ahead, pulling it close beside the sister's chestnut gelding. Richard reached up to push back the hood of his cloak and realized it wasn't even up. So he ran his fingers through his wet hair instead. He looked over at Sister Verna. There are some things we have to talk about. Important things you don't know about. She glanced over without emotion. The edge of her hood partially blocked her face. And what would those things be? I am the seeker. She looked away, returning her eyes to where they had been. That is hardly something I don't know. Her calm, unconcerned attitude annoyed him. I have responsibilities. I told you before there are important things going on you know nothing about, dangerous things. She didn't respond. It was as if he hadn't spoken. He decided to cut right to the heart of it. The keeper is trying to escape the underworld. We do not speak his name. You are not to speak it, as you have just done. It brings his attention. When we must speak of him, he is addressed as the Nameless One. She was talking to him as if he were a child. Kalin's life was in danger, and this silly woman was treating him like a child. I don't care what you call him, he's trying to get out, and I assure you, I already have his attention. At last she looked over, unconcerned. The Nameless One is always trying to get out. Richard took a deep breath and tried again. The veil to the underworld is torn. He is going to get out. Sister Verna turned to him once more, this time pulling the edge of the hood back to get a better look. Curly brown hair peeked out the edge of the dark, heavy hood. She had an odd frown, a frown of amusement. There was a wisp of a smile at the corners of her mouth. The Creator himself put the Nameless One where he is. The Creator himself placed the veil with his own hand to keep him there. Her smile swelled a little as her eyebrows came closer together, creasing her weathered brow. The Nameless One cannot escape the prison the Creator has placed him in. Do not be afraid, child. Exploding in rage, Richard wheeled his bay mare around toward the sister. The two horses jostled, whinnying and tossing their heads. Richard firmly snatched the reins of the sister's surprised horse to keep it from rearing or bolting. He leaned toward her, his chest heaving in fury. "I will not be called names. I will not have names put to me because I wear a collar. I am Richard, Richard Rawl." Sister Verna didn't flinch. Her voice remained calm and smooth. "I'm sorry, Richard. It was only force of habit. I am used to dealing with ones much younger than you. I meant nothing demeaning by it." The way she stared at him made him feel suddenly foolish, embarrassed, made him feel like a child. He released the reins. "I apologize for yelling. I'm not in a very good mood." She frowned again. "I thought your name was Cipher." He tugged his cloak over his chest where the bandage covered his burn. "It's a long story. George Cipher raised me as his son. I only found out a short time ago that I am in truth the son of Darken Rawl." Her frown deepened. "Darken Rawl? The one with the gift you killed? You killed your father?" "Don't look at me like that. You didn't know him. You have no idea what kind of man he was. He imprisoned and tortured and killed more people than you or I could imagine. The idea of him being with my mother makes me sick. But that is the truth of it. I am his son. If you expect me to be sorry I killed him, you will have longer than eternity to wait." Sister Verna shook her head with what seemed genuine concern. "I'm sorry, Richard. Sometimes the Creator weaves a tangled cloth for our lives, and we are left to wonder why. But I am sure of one thing. He has reasons for what he does." Babble. He was getting babble from this woman. He urged his horse around and started out again. "I'm telling you, the veil is torn and the keeper is going to get out." Her voice lowered dangerously. "The Nameless One." He glanced over, annoyed. "Fine, the Nameless One. I couldn't care less what you want to call him. But he is going to get out. We are all in great danger." Kaelin was in great danger. He didn't care if this sorceress of a sister burned him to a cinder. His life meant nothing to him anymore. His only concern was Kaelin's safety. Sister Verna's quizzical frown and smile returned. "Who told you such a thing?" "Shota, the witch woman. She told me the veil was torn." He left out that Shota had also told him he was the one who had torn it. "She said it was torn, and if it wasn't fixed, the Nameless One would escape." Sister Verna smiled. Her eyes sparkled. "A witch woman?" She laughed a little. "And you believed her? You believed a witch woman? You think witch women speak the truth in such simple fashion?" Fuming, Richard glanced at her from the corner of his eye. "She seemed pretty sure of it to me. She wouldn't lie about something this important. I believe her." Sister Verna seemed to think the whole thing amusing. "If you had ever had occasion to deal with a witch woman before, Richard, you would know that they have an odd view of the truth. They can be well-intentioned at times, but witch women speak in words that rarely come to pass the way they sound." The truth of that took some of the steam out of him. Sister Verna certainly seemed to know about witch women. In fact, she seemed to share his own view of them. She seemed pretty sure of what she was saying. She was afraid. "I am sure she was. A wise person is always afraid of the Nameless One. But I wouldn't put much stock in what she says." "It's not just what she says. Other things have happened, too." She looked over curiously.
"Such as?"
"A Skreeling." She set her calm brown eyes back ahead.
"A Skreeling. You have seen a Skreeling, yes?"
"Seen it? It attacked me. Skreelings are from the underworld. They are sent by the Nameless One. It was sent through a tear in the veil to kill me." Her smile returned.
"You have quite an imagination, Richard. You have listened to too many children's songs."
He restrained his renewed anger.
"What do you mean?"
"Skreelings are indeed from the underworld, as are other beasts, the harthounds, for example. But they are not sent. They simply escape. We live in a world that lies between good and evil, between the light and the dark. The Creator did not intend this to be a perfect world, safe from all harm. We cannot understand his reasons always, but he has them, and he is perfect. Perhaps the Skreelings are meant to show us the dark side. I don't know. But I do know they are simply an evil that sometimes comes. I have seen this happen before to ones with the gift. It is possible that the gift draws them,
A test, perhaps. A warning, perhaps, of the rancid evil that awaits those who stray from the light.
But there are prophecies that say they are sent when the veil is torn, sent by the Nameless One.
How could that be, Richard? Has the veil ever been torn before?
How should I know? He thought a moment. But I don't see how it could have been. If it were, how could it have been mended? And it wouldn't have gone unnoticed. What are you getting at?
Well, if the veil has never been torn, how could the Skreelings have been sent before? How would we know what they were? How could they have a name already put to them?
It was Richard's turn to frown. Maybe we only know them as Skreelings because they have been named in the prophecy.
You have read this prophecy?
Well, no. Kaelin told it to me.
And she read it herself with her own eyes, yes?
No. She learned it when she was young.
Richard's irritated frown deepened.
In a song. She learned it from wizards.
In a song. Sister Verna didn't look over, but her smile widened. Richard, I do not mean to belittle your fears, but things repeated over and over, especially in a song, have a way of changing. As for prophecies, well, they are harder to understand than a witch woman. We have vaults full of them at the palace. As part of your studies, perhaps you will be allowed to work with them. I have read all of them we have, and I can tell you that they are beyond the minds of most. If you aren't cautious, you can find a prophecy that will say whatever you want to hear. Or at least you will think it is what you want to hear. Some wizards devote their lives to the study of them, and yet even they understand only a tiny fraction of their truth.
This is a danger not to be taken so lightly.
Do you think the veil is torn that simply? Have faith, Richard. The Creator placed the veil. Have faith in Him.
Richard rode in silence for a time. Sister Verna did seem to make sense. He felt as if his understanding of the world was tilting. But it was difficult for him to think too hard on the subject. Kaelin kept creeping back into his mind. His anguish at her wanting him to put on the collar to prove his love, knowing it would take him from her, tore at his heart. The betrayal burned painfully in his chest. He picked at the reins with his thumbnail. At last he turned once more to the sister.
That's not all. I haven't told you the worst of it.
She smiled a motherly smile. There is more. Tell me then. Perhaps I can put your fears to rest.
Richard let out a deep breath, trying to release at least a little of the pain with it. The man I killed, Darkenrall, my father? Well, when he died, he was sent to the underworld. To the Nameless One. Last night he escaped. Escaped through the tear in the veil. He is back in this world, back to tear the veil the rest of the way.
And you know he was sent to the Nameless One?
You were in the underworld to see him arrive there? At the side of the Nameless One, yes?
The woman had a way of poking his temper awake. He tried to ignore the sting of the jab.
I talked to him when he came back to this world. He told me. He told me he was here to tear the veil the rest of the way. He said the Keeper would have us all, a dead man, come back to this world. Do you see? The only way his spirit could be here is if he came through the veil.
You were just sitting there, and this dead man walked up and spoke to you, yes?
Richard frowned deeply at her, but she didn't look over to see it. It was at a gathering, with the Mud People. I was trying to talk to their ancestors' spirits to try to find out how to close the veil, and he appeared.
Ah, she nodded in satisfaction. I see.
What does that mean? Sister Verna's face set into an expression of tolerance, born of explaining things to children.
Did the Mud People have you drink or eat some sacred potion before you saw this spirit?
No.
You simply sat down with them and saw spirits, yes?
Well, not exactly. There is a banquet first, for a couple of days. The elders eat and drink special things, but I never did. Then we were painted with mud, and then I went into the spirit house with the seven elders. We sat in a circle, and they chanted a while. Then they passed around a basket, and we took out a spirit frog and rubbed the slime from its back onto our skin.
Frogs. Sister Verna looked over. Red frogs, yes?
Yes, red spirit frogs.
With a smile, she looked back ahead. I know of them, and it made your skin tingle, yes?
And it is then you saw spirits? That's a pretty simplistic version, but I guess you could distill it down like that.
What are you trying to say?
You have traveled the Midlands often? You have seen many of her peoples?
No, I'm from Westland. I don't know much about the people of the Midlands.
She nodded to herself again. There are many peoples in the Midlands, unbelievers, who do not know of the light of the Creator. They worship all sorts of things, idols and spirits and such. They are savages who hold to customs of worship centered around these false beliefs. They mostly have one thing in common. They use sacred food or drink to help them see their spirit protectors.
She looked over to make sure he was paying attention. The mud people apparently use the substance on the red frogs to help them have these visions of what they wish to see.
Visions? The Creator has placed many plants and animals in our world for us to use. The power of these things work in invisible ways. A tea, for example, of the bark of willow can help reduce a fever. We can't see it work, but we know it does. There are many things that, if eaten, will make us sick, even kill us. The Creator gave us minds to learn the difference. There are some things that, if eaten, or, in the case of the red frogs, rubbed into our skin, will make us see things, just as we see things when we dream. Savages who don't know better think the things they see are real. That is what happened to you. You rubbed the slime of a red frog onto your skin, and it gave you visions. Your rightful fear of the Nameless One made it all the more real to you. If these spirits were real, why would you need to use some special plant or food or drink, or in this case red frogs, to see and talk to them? Please don't think I am mocking you, Richard. The visions can seem very real. When you are under their influence, they can seem as real as anything, but they are not. Richard was reluctant to believe the sister's explanation, but he understood what she was talking about. From a young age, Zed had taken him into the woods to find special plants to help people. Om, to take away pain and help minor wounds heal faster, and wattle root to ease the pain of deeper wounds. Zed had showed him other plants that would help fevers, digestion, the pain of childbirth, dizzy spells. And he had also told him about plants to avoid, plants that were dangerous, and plants that would make people see things that weren't there, visions. But he didn't think he had imagined Dark and Raw.
"He burned me." Richard tapped his shirt where the bandage was. "I couldn't have been having visions. Darkenrall was there. He reached out and touched me, and it burned my skin. I'm not imagining that."
The sister gave a little shrug. "That could be one of two things. After you rubbed the frog on your skin, you couldn't see the room you were in, could you?"
"No, it just seemed to disappear into a dark void."
"Well, see it or not, it was still there. And I'm sure the savages would have had a fire burning when you had this gathering. And when you were burned, you were not sitting in the same place, but you were standing moving about, yes?"
"Yes," he admitted reluctantly.
She pursed her lips. "In the deluded state you were in, you probably fell and burned yourself on a stick in the fire and imagined that it was the spirit doing the burning."
Richard was beginning to feel decidedly foolish. Could the sister be right? Was it all this simple? Was he really this gullible?
"You said it could be two things. What is the other?"
The sister wrote in silence for a moment. When her voice came, it came lower, darker, than it had before.
"The Nameless One always seeks to have us side with him. Though he is locked behind the veil, his tentacles can still reach into this world. He can still harm us. He is dangerous. The dark side is dangerous. When ignorant people dabble in things dark, they can call forth danger. Call forth the attention of the Nameless One or his minions. It is possible you really were touched, burned by one of the evil ones."
She glanced over.
"There are dangerous things people are too foolish to avoid. Sometimes those things can kill."
Her voice brightened a bit.
"That is one of our jobs, trying to teach those who have not yet seen the light of the Creator to go toward the light and stay away from the things dark and dangerous."
Richard couldn't think of anything to counter the sister's explanation of events. The thing she said made sense. If she were right, that would mean that Kalin wasn't really in danger, that Kalin was safe. He wanted to believe that. He desperately wanted to believe that. But still.
"I will admit that you could be right, but I'm not sure. There seems to be more to it than I can put into words."
"I understand, Richard. It's hard to admit we have been wrong.
No one wants to admit they have been tricked or made to look the fool. That view of ourselves hurts. But part of growing learning is being able to hold the truth above all else, even when it means we must admit to having held foolish ideas. Please believe me, Richard. I do not see you as a fool for having believed as you did. Your fear was understandable. The mark of a wise person is being able to reach beyond for the truth, to admit they can learn more than they already know. But all of these things are connected. Are they? A wise person doesn't string together the beads of unrelated events into a necklace simply to have something they wish to see. A wise person sees the truth, even if it is something unexpected. That is the most beautiful necklace to wear. The truth. The truth, he muttered to himself. He was the seeker. The truth was what the seeker was all about. It was woven in gold wire into the hilt of his sword. The sword of truth. Something about the things that had happened were more than he could put into words for her. Could it be as she said? Could he simply be fooling himself? He remembered the wizard's first rule. People will believe anything, either because they want it to be true or are afraid it might be. He knew from experience that he was as susceptible to it as anyone else. He wasn't above believing a lie. He had believed Kaylin loved him. He had believed she would never do anything to hurt him, and she had sent him away. Richard felt the lump rising in his throat again. I'm telling you the truth, Richard. I am here to help you. He didn't answer. He didn't believe her. As if to answer his thoughts, she asked, How are your headaches? The question stunned him. Not the question so much as the realization. They're gone. The headache is completely gone. Sister Verna smiled and nodded in satisfaction. As I promised you, the Radahan would take away the headache. We only want to help you, Richard. His eyes turned to watch her. You also said the collar is to control me. So we may teach you, Richard. You must have a person's attention to teach them. That's all it's for. And to hurt me. You said it is to give me pain. She shrugged, opening her palms to the sky, the reins woven through her fingers. I have just given you pain. I showed you how you were believing in something foolish. Does that not give you pain? Does it not hurt you to learn that you have been wrong? But isn't it better to know the truth than to believe a lie, even if it hurts? He looked away, thinking of the truth of Kaylin making him put on a collar, sending him away. That truth hurt more than anything. The truth that he wasn't good enough for her. I guess so. But I don't like wearing a collar, not one bit. He was sick of talking. His chest hurt. His muscles were all cramped. He was tired. He missed Kaylin, but Kaylin had made him put on a collar and sent him away. He let his horse and the one tethered to his saddle fall back to trail behind the sisters once more as tears ran down his cheeks, feeling like ice on his skin. He rode in silence. His horse tore off wads of grass and chewed as it plodded along. Ordinarily, Richard wouldn't have let his horse eat while it had a bit in its mouth. It couldn't chew properly with the bit, and could end up with colic. You could lose a good horse to colic. Instead of stopping it, Richard stroked its warm neck and gave reassuring pats. It felt good to have company that didn't tell him he was stupid, company that didn't judge or make demands. He didn't feel like doing the same to the horse. Better to be a horse than a man, he thought. Walk, turn, stop. Nothing more. Better to be anything than what he was. Despite what Sister Verna said, he knew he was nothing more than a captive. Nothing she said could change that. If he was ever going to be set free, he would have to learn to control the gift. Once the sisters were satisfied he could control the gift, maybe they would free him. If Kaylin didn't want him, at least he would be free. That was what he would do, he decided. Learn to use the gift as fast as he could, so he could get the collar off and be set free. Zed had always told him he was a fast learner. He would learn everything. Besides, he had always liked learning. He had always wanted to know more. There was never enough for him. He brightened the slightest bit at the idea. He liked learning new things. Maybe it wouldn't be so bad. He could do it. Besides, what else was there? He thought of the way Denna trained him, taught him. His mood sank. He was just deluding himself. They would never set him free. He wasn't going to learn because he wanted to, or what he wanted to. He was going to learn what the Sisters of the Light wanted him to learn, and he didn't necessarily believe that what they taught was the truth. They were going to teach him about pain. It was hopeless. He rode with his dark, brooding thoughts. He was the seeker, the bringer of death. Every time he killed someone with the Sword of Truth, he knew that was what he was. That was what the seeker did. What the seeker was, the bringer of death. As the sky began flaming into pinks, yellows, and golds, he noticed white patches in the distance ahead. It wasn't snow. The snow hadn't stuck. Besides, these things moved. Sister Verna didn't say anything about them. She simply rode along. The sun at their backs sent long shadows ahead of them. For the first time, Richard realized they were traveling east. When they were closer, he recognized the white forms spread across their way, turning pink in the last rays of the sun. It was a small flock of sheep. As they passed among them, Richard saw that the people tending the animals were Bontoc. He recognized their manner of dress. Three Bontoc men approached to the side of Richard, ignoring Sister Verna. They mumbled something he didn't understand, but their words and faces seemed to hold a certain reverence. The three dropped to their knees and bowed down, stretching their arms out, their hands on the ground toward him. Richard slowed his horse to a walk as he looked down at them. They came back up on their knees, chattering at him, but he didn't understand the words. Richard lifted his hand in greeting. It seemed to satisfy them. The three broke into grins and bowed a few more times as he rode past. They came to their feet and trotted next to his horse, attempting to push things into his hands. Bread, fruit, strips of dried meat, a dirty, drab scarf, necklaces made of teeth, bone, and beads, even their shepherd's crooks. Richard forced a smile and, with signs he thought they would understand, tried to decline the offers without offending the men. One of the three was particularly insistent he take a melon, offering it repeatedly. Richard didn't want trouble, so he took the melon and bowed his head several times. They seemed proud, nodding and bowing as he rode on. He gave them a last bow from his saddle as he rode past and slipped the melon into a saddlebag. Sister Verna had her horse turned toward him, waiting for him to catch up. She scowled as she waited. Richard didn't hurry his horse along. He simply let it go at its own pace. What now? He wondered. When he finally reached her, she leaned toward him. Why are they saying those things? What things? I don't understand their language. She gritted her teeth. They think you are a wizard. Why would they think that? Why? Richard shrugged. I would guess it's because that's what I told them. What? She pushed the hood of her cloak back. You are not a wizard. You have no right telling them you are. You lied. Richard folded his wrists over the high pommel of the saddle.